Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Welcome to our final segment here on Circles of Change. Happy St. Patrick's Day weekend to everyone out there. And we're going to go into the nonprofit world, but still with a very strong balance of belief and connectedness within families, particularly for young men. I welcome on the line Mary Pat Lucas from California. Good morning, Mary Pat.
Good morning, Zara. How are you?
I'm just great. It's a real pleasure to give voice to some terrific work you've done here recently with your teammate. Let me give a brief introduction. Mary Pat is the co-founder and national president of the National League of Young Men. The nonprofit organization is for young men in grades 9 through 12 and offers a structured program for mothers and their sons to promote the development of these young men into community leaders through leadership involvement, charitable and community service, cultural experiences, and also protocol education. Mary Pat led the first Newport Mesa chapter and has had led now the growth nationally from an organization of 80 people in four chapters with a current membership of over 700. Mary Pat's passion truly is in philanthropic work, having been a sustaining member of both the Newport Mesa chapter of the National Charity League and also the Assistance League of Newport Mesa. She earned the BS in business from the administration from USC and spent her early career in real estate asset management. But really, from those teenage years, she's developed deep roots and a broad leadership portfolio, courtesy now of over 30 years of community service, particularly coupled with leaving a legacy and engaging the next generation. And Mary Pat has also volunteered in many capacities and held offices on the boards of her church and her children's elementary and high schools. And now with two out of college and one in college, on to the next big frontier, right, Mary Pat?
Exactly.
Well, tell us, how did you come upon the idea with your co-founder to establish the League of Young Men?
Well, it actually, as you said, I have been involved in some type of philanthropy work since I was in high school, mm-hmm. And so it's always been a passion of mine. And as I went through and had worked and then had my children, and as we all do, got to the point where I had done a lot with my girls. My two oldest children are girls, and my youngest is my son. Anyway, I had done a lot with my daughters in terms of philanthropy work and so forth through the National Charity League and Assistance League. But when it came time to have my son begin to participate, I realized there really wasn't a structured program mm-hmm. in our area for young men. So that's when my girlfriend Diane Edmonston and I started talking, and we said, you know what, we need to develop something. And that's how it all came about. And it's been a really fun ride. It's been exciting. I have to tell you, this has become my great passion. Mm-hmm. I just love what we're doing and to see what's happening with the young men and how excited they get about it. That right there is the crux of the whole thing.
So, well, and I would think, too, the fact that you are catching them at such an important age as freshmen in high school, and to travel through everything that our young men do during those high school years, whether they're college destined or not, there's still a lot of physical growth, emotional growth, mental and spiritual growth that's playing out, and also the whole culture, societal and protocol, a good firm handshake, how to hold the door, right? The etiquette at meals.
Exactly. And you know what we're finding, and I'm sure you'll agree with me on this, so many of today's young men, they're often confused as mm-hmm. to what their role is in the world. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to help them define what that role is, and in the process, teach them valuable life lessons and life skills to become our leaders for tomorrow, because they're going to be our leaders for tomorrow. So it's wonderful. We have, can I tell you a little bit about it?
Please, go right ahead. The microphone is yours, my friend.
Yay. We have four components to our organization, and it'd be fun for us to talk a little bit
Please
about
do,
them.
Yes.
The first one is leadership, and the four components together are leadership, service, culture, and protocol. Mm-hmm. Okay, the first being leadership. And as we were just saying, that today young men, truly, they are a little confused as to where they fall in terms of leadership. So part of our program is set up by grade levels, and the grade levels have a board of directors. So they learn right out of the chute what it is to be an officer. They go through nominating process. They go through setting up agendas for their board meetings. They run a board meeting. They know what it is to have a motion and then what a vote is. They talk about financial decisions for their group, and they vote on how they want to spend their money.
Mm-hmm.
They vote on what philanthropies they want to help. They basically run their grade level. And it's awesome because young men in 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th grade don't typically have an opportunity to get in there and form a board and make decisions and run an organization.
And learn about the group dynamics and how to be inclusive and be careful you don't exclude anyone, either intentionally or unintentionally, in the process.
Exactly. Exactly. And I will tell you, it's wonderful to watch because let's say you start with your 9th grade and they get in there and they're not quite sure what the heck they're doing. So we have grade level advisors at each meeting, you know, each grade level meeting. And in 9th grade, yes, the grade level advisors, the mother, is going to be up in front quite a bit saying, okay, now this is the next step. Now this is the next step. By 12th grade, literally she sits in the back and wears beige. Because those young men are running their meeting.
And so you, part of your program, of course, as much as we are talking now about the skills, training, experiences you're giving to the young men, then I suspect there's a lot of mothers that suddenly are back either dusting off the skills they haven't used a while or may never have had the opportunity to learn these things as well.
And that's true. That's very true. The chapter itself is run by the mothers, of course, and on their board, oftentimes they're ladies that have a lot of experience. They've either been in philanthropy organizations for a long time, they know what that's about, they've been in the working world, and they've retired or changed positions, if you will, and have come and are participating, but maybe they've never really thought about what Robert's Rules is about.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So now they have to quick learn what is Robert's Rules, so that they can go now and teach the young men what it means to make a motion and what a bylaw. I mean, a lot of these kids they've never heard of what a bylaw is. They don't understand that that's actually the rules of the organization and you
that's
have
right.
to follow them. So, and you can change them, you know, but you have to have a certain number to vote to make that change. So it's wonderful. It really is wonderful to watch the progression.
And, of course, education then plays in real deeply, too, as you look at then the service culture and protocol side, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So you go into the service side of things. You know, the young men choose where they want to give their time. And it's wonderful, the community, because community service oftentimes it's either a mix of young men and young ladies that are there participating or perhaps just young ladies. So we're unique in that we're a group of young men. So we'll come into a community program and they are open arms. They're so excited to see this group of 30 to, you know, each grade level is about 30, and then a chapter, of course, then four grade levels, you'd have about 120 kids. So you could walk into a group and have 30 young men there to do whatever needs to be done. And it's wonderful because you'll see, even if there are young ladies working at the same philanthropy, oftentimes the young men play differently. So the children, the little boys in particular, will flock to the young men. You know, they, not that they aren't interested in the female volunteers, but they love that here's a guy that they can play with and talk to. And a lot of times these kids don't have male role models. So it's wonderful that they can turn to this 15-year-old young man and see, gee, this is really kind of a cool kid. I want to hang out with him.
And so, even if that young man has brothers or sisters or siblings younger, it still means something totally different to his leadership growth to have a child from another sector, you know, ask those questions or, you know, can you help me do this?
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, one of our young men, a 16-year-old, was working recently. We helped, one of our chapters helped an organization, and that's what we do. We are very much about helping other philanthropy organizations. So they helped another organization that was really about gang prevention. It was an after-school group that was set up for kids so that they had a safe, fun place to be, that they didn't have to turn to gangs.
Exactly.
So our young men came in, and this particular group is called Save Our Youth, the other group. Our young men came in to help them because they basically were having issues. You know, they had kind of been forgotten as the world went on. So our young men came in, they worked with their mothers to collect money, they talked to people, found one man that was painting in one of the homes and said, oh, we're going to go do this. And he said, oh,
I'll come along.
Yeah, I was a part of that. My children were a part of that. I want to help. He came and helped. Went to Home Depot to get paint, and the gal said, wait a minute, I didn't even know they were around anymore. I want to help. She came in and helped. Had a furniture company in the area donate furniture. Another person donate carpet. We came in, and with the young men, and there were 60 volunteers in that particular one, with those kids and with their folks, they transformed this whole area for these kids then to come after school again and have a wonderful experience. So, but anyway, one of our 16-year-olds, through this whole thing, is saying... let me quote what he said. He goes, we're pretty fortunate in our lives, especially where we live, so it's good to come and help less fortunate areas. He said, why play video games when you can come and help some other kids' lives? Okay, right there, that says it.
Yeah, it really does, and that how that it turns around and really touches into. And it, as you said, though, that part of what you're doing is you're planting the seeds for these young men for the things that they're going to do later on in their life, too, whether it be reflect back and work with youth or even navigate with these new life skills in a different way.
Exactly, exactly. And our hope is, just like myself, our hope is that if they are doing this and find it rewarding in ninth grade, that when they're 50, they're going to go, you know what? Yes, my hand's up. You need some help? I'm there. I'm excited to go and help do this. They've been introduced to it, and it's become a part of who they are.
That's right. For those of you who just tuned in, we're speaking with Mary Pat Lucas. She's co-founder and president of the National League of Young Men. And you can learn more about that organization at nationalleagueofyoungmen.org. Mary Pat, the idea you've expanded from your one chapter to four, obviously part of our conversation should be how could our listeners and what would they expect to get if they would say, we'd like to do something like what you're doing in our community?
I will say right now, we would love to spread this to all kinds of communities because we've found it to be a huge value. But if they're interested, they would just go to our website, and there is a link where they can contact us, and we, of course, will then get a hold of them. And basically what we would do is ask them to have a number, and we tend to like to say, we'd like to have really 50 to 60 committed women and their young men in order to start a group. You almost need that just to have the financial backing and to have the manpower to get going. Okay. But once they have that, then we are ready to come in, and we have our manual set up so every officer can see what her role is. We attend all of the board meetings. Someone from the national office will attend all the board meetings for the first 2 years just to be sure that they're up and running. We have trainers that will come in and train the chapter, so the mothers, the chapter board members, so that they then can take the program and work with their young men. And we're just basically there as a source. You know, we've spent, since our inception, you know, trying to get really some pretty good standard operating materials put together.
Mm-hmm. And I should mention some of those. I have the list in front of me. I mean, everything from automotive safety to some maintenance, obviously education on drugs and alcohol, preparing for summer employment, and then the whole protocol etiquette area. Give us a little bit of sense of that, and particularly how it progresses over the 4 years for the young men.
Sure. This, to me, is one of my favorite sections of our group. We are very unique in that we do offer, as part of our program, a protocol and etiquette section. And the reason for that is truly so many young men in particular, but even young ladies, I mean, our current generation, oftentimes they're not even exposed to what it is to be, you know, the basics of protocol, the basics of etiquette, you know, things like shaking someone's hand with a firm handshake and looking them in the eye.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, these are things that to you and I are a norm, but oftentimes the kids don't even understand that they should do that, you know. So we try and teach at each grade level meeting, we have a protocol lesson. And we don't call it etiquette just because the young men go, ooh, etiquette, ooh, scary. No. So we call it protocol. But we teach them things like opening the door for a young lady, for sure, but then also for a man that's coming through and his hands are full.
Absolutely.
You know, it's common courtesy. Open the door for them. Offer your seat to, you know, of course, a pregnant woman, but an older person, man or woman. Just, it's common courtesy. We try and teach them and open their eyes to what that is. But then additionally, we'll teach them how to tie a tie. You know, so many young men in high school haven't the foggiest idea how to
exactly.
tie a tie.
And by the way, it's because of Dress Down Fridays. Dad might not have taught him how to because he might not know anymore.
He may have forgotten, exactly.
One thing that caught my attention, of course, on your list was also cell phone and internet manners, which I guarantee wouldn't have been in any protocol class but for the last 5 years. And that one is a constantly moving target, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And we really, truly try to teach them that you go into an elevator and you turn off your phone. You know, you sit down at dinner and the phone stays on the counter in the other room. You know, things like that. You need to be aware of the people that you're with and be courteous. You know, pay attention. Don't be sitting in a closed area speaking loudly on the phone and everyone else around you is like, really? Do we want to hear about this?
Okay, you know? I think the National League of Young Men needs to take on the U.S. airport system right now. Because we go brain dead when it comes to that. You're absolutely right. And you hear more people negotiating deals on cell phones in front of the public eye.
Exactly.
And you're thinking, you hello? You know, what are you thinking?
Exactly.
You know, I also see a common thread through your curriculum from grades 9 through 12, of course, preparing our young men for the working world. So everything up to, you know, interviews and thank you notes and professional relationship building, Mary Pat.
Yes. Yes, and that's a big part, again, of our protocol section in that we do feel it's important. You know, the first thing that they're probably going to interview with may be a job, you know. So if you can walk in and you're dressed nicely and you've learned to wear a collared shirt and you're not in flip-flops and shorts, you know, chances are you've got your hair combed. You know, chances are they're going to look at you and go, wow, okay, right there you've made a great impression. And then to continue on and have the confidence in verbal skills to be able to tell them, why would I be a good employer? You know, you then here you are a sophomore or junior in high school and you've got your first job, you know?
That's right.
And then from there moving on to college interviews and you know, through the years, it just becomes invaluable information.
So, Mary Pat, what have you heard back from some of your young men that have had the opportunity to go through all 4 years of the program and maybe off into that next phase of their life?
Sure. This is a great question, and this is one of my favorites as well. When a couple of our young men that have graduated and are on to college, at this point in the game, our very first class, which was in Newport Mesa, started in 2007. Those young men are seniors in college at this point in the game. So they have been out of high school now for 4 years, and they've been through the college rigmaroles. And many of them now are interviewing for jobs for their careers.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really interesting. I've gotten comments like when they first went into college and maybe joined a fraternity or were a participant in some type of a group, their comments would come back and say, wow, a lot of these guys have no idea how to be in a group meeting. They don't know that you need to, you know, what meeting etiquette is, how to sit quietly and listen to what people have to say, and then voice your opinion, of course, but do it in such a way that everyone has an opportunity, an equal opportunity to say something. You know, then, and it's been interesting, too, because they've taken on roles, leadership roles, at their universities, like I say, within their fraternities, within, if they have a particular class and they have group sessions where they're working as a group, oftentimes they take the leadership role within the group, mainly because they've learned how to do it, they're comfortable with it, the other people in the group are not comfortable with it. So it has been very, they tell us, it's been very much of an advantage for them to be able to move to this next step, having these skills.
That's right. And what would you say the moms would comment? The whole mother-son dynamic that evolves over these 4 years and then beyond.
Most of our moms, and it's interesting, you know, of course, it all has to do with personalities and dynamics between mother and son. But a lot of our moms will say, and anyone that's had a young man go through their high school years, they will probably agree. A lot of our moms will say that, you know, they come in as freshmen and they're a tad goofy. You know, freshman boys are a little bit goofy. And it gives them the chance to work together, but they see their sons through the process, maybe at times kind of have to go, come on, we need to go, it's time for your meeting. But mostly they see that the young men get really excited about it. And they are excited about something that in their world is typically thought of as a negative. You know, oh, I've got to put on a collared shirt to go to thus and such. Right. Well, their sons maybe start out that way, but at the end they're like, Mom, okay, I'm going to thus and such. Do you know where my collared shirt is? They're no longer even told they have to. They just know. This is appropriate. This is what I want to do.
I would think the other thing you folks have done, too, is you've created an environment that's safe. It's safe for them to experiment with some things.
Absolutely.
And learn it in the process. And, in fact, you know, for those of us, I think you and I have sons of the same generation, is that one book that we read called Real Boys. Mm-hmm. That advised us moms that, you know, don't think you have to push your boys too much in this direction or that. Let them be children. Let them figure out on their own terms how to do things, because so much energy oftentimes is put around the social biases towards young girls. But it's also there, the expectation on our boys that they should be ready for overnight camp, you know, at age 4 as opposed to 14 for the first time. But that this environment you've created then through the National League of Young Men gives them a lot more runway to experiment and to get through those different phases that they're going to anyways.
Absolutely. In fact, most of our thrust is exposure.
Mm-hmm.
We just want to expose them to things that they can take forward into the next phase of their life. You know, we want to expose them to culture. I mean, even, and by culture I mean the arts, mm-hmm. You know. Opera. I mean, how many boys that are 16 are going to choose to go to opera?
That's right. And they may just go to it once, but at least they've done it, right?
Exactly. And they've seen it. I know what an opera is.
That's right. They demystify it. Well, Mary Pat Lucas, thank you so very much for joining us. NationalLeagueOfYoungMen.org. I encourage our listeners to go out and look at their site and reflect with your other colleagues, dads as much as moms that are listening in, as to how you might want to expose your young men to this possibility and bring a chapter into your community. Mary Pat, we wish you the best of luck. We'll look forward to continue to track your progress.
Thank you, Zara, and thank you so much for having the opportunity to let me tell everyone what we're about.
Absolutely. We'll do it again sometime soon. Thanks so much.
You bet.
Very good.
Bye-bye.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.